Well, speaking of resources and funding, Dennis just reminded me that Aaron Wentz, who was supposed to be our apologetic speaker back in June, wasn't able to be here, broke his hip week before he's supposed to get here, really badly. I mean, it was going to be months that they expected for Aaron to recover. The brother's up walking. He had a remarkable healing in this hip. And because of the medical expenses and some of the things, there is a GoFundMe page for Aaron Wentz if you so desire to support him in this time of need. So it's just a way for us who could maybe do something and want to do something. That's up to you. But if you go to Aaron Wentz, and if you, I believe it's W-E-N-T-Z, right? Aaron Wentz. Okay. Thank you, Dennis. On Facebook, too. All right, let's change gears here, and I want to give you a little bit about where I'd like to go. You know, you get, as I said a few minutes ago, when you get away, you get perspective, and that can be good and bad. Sometimes when you're busy, you don't really think. Anybody feel like that? You're just busy, you're not really thinking, but when you get away, it's you're kind of with yourself a little bit more, and you think about things that you haven't really had time to think, and when you're driving 12 hours, that's a time to think. There's only so much talking you can do in the car, right? But having just been away this past week, I realized a huge part of going away is thinking about what you'll need while you're away. A big part of this. I don't know about you folks, but this is a big part of my family. Just look at the back of the vehicle before we drive down the street. This is a kind of weird confession. I have a sense of security that if my home is struck with lightning while I'm gone and the whole thing burnt to the ground, at least I had the few essentials, the few provisions that I would need. I had the toothbrush. I had deodorant. Phew. I had that Dunkin' Donuts gift card. I had my phone and my laptop. I had my clothes. I had my Bible. And the best part, I had my family. So I'm thinking if everything went wrong back at home, I get the few provisions. And most of us don't realize how much we really don't need. But we like what we have and we enjoy what we have. But when it comes to this life, provision is very important. It's how we think. It brings a sense of security. It brings a sense of security to us and it brings it to others. And this idea of complete provision that I want to talk about this morning is really what's been on my heart. I've been thinking of these two ideas of both expecting from God and how God delivers. We really are people who need continual deliverance, whether we think it or not. This is a theme in which I feel like the Lord is really impressing upon us for where we want to go next as a church. Because we need to constantly be relying upon him, and God needs to deliver answers to us. He needs to lead us, and he will do that by his Spirit. David gives us a picture of complete provision in Psalm 32. Number one, bear with me here. Our biggest need is for forgiveness, just so you know. We gain that forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called being complete in Christ. It's not being fixed up. It's being made complete. It's being made new. It's being born again. It's getting a new life. It's getting something to your account that wasn't there. Then you need, number two, you need his presence. And he does that through his Holy Spirit. We'll talk about some of these a little throughout the message. And then we need instruction in his word. So you need forgiveness, you need his presence, and you need ongoing instruction. I'll raise my hand and join you. When Satan comes after Jesus in the wilderness after a 40-day and 40-night fast, Jesus was hungry. And Jesus rebukes the prince of darkness and the father of lies with the living word of God. Jesus stands on the authority of Holy Scripture. One of the scriptures that he quotes is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And if you can see the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. But one of the scriptures that Jesus quotes back to Satan is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Satan, knowing Jesus is God in human flesh, knowing he is the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, you realize that he knows he's the Son of God. He is God in flesh. He wants Jesus to misuse his divine power to even turn stones into bread to satisfy his legitimate hunger. And Jesus upholds the word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You and I need a daily fixing and a daily helping and a daily feasting of the word of God. I think another way I could title this message is trust God. I want our church in these most important days to learn to trust God in increasing dependence, and that we would know that he wants to accomplish what concerns both our lives and our church. Do you realize today that one of the most important thing that occupies the believer is his own personal security? In his needs, in his daily things, and just the stuff of this life that becomes very much, we become enamored by it. We become enmeshed in it, and we forget about that God has a plan in which he is wanting us to really be a part of, and that's the building of his church. And we are the assembly of believers. Those of us who placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we belong to him, and he wants to use us. He wants to bless us. He wants our eyes fixed on him. This world is passing away in the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And if you are just always so focused on your own life management and what's next, you may miss tremendous blessings that could be yours in this church and in this time. And I think we need to be praying. We need to become alert. It is very easy to become very unalert. We live in the most sophisticated culture. You can get anything on Google, anything. You don't even have to leave your house anymore. You don't even have to. You can have groceries. We talked to one of our family members in Pennsylvania, and they have a friend who put an order in of a full grocery shopping, and it was in there. I don't know all the details, but it was fully delivered in less than hours. It was there within the hour. Did we hear that? So you can go grocery shopping online and now have it delivered by a drone, maybe. I don't know. Anybody do drone drops yet? I mean, this is just the culture. We are increasing in our selfishness. That is just a fact. That's what technology has done. We have become very... We became very satisfied with this new way of living. We think we have complete provision, but apart from the real provision that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us, we are bankrupt. We need forgiveness by God. We need his presence, and we need his word. And we have all of those in him. And it awakens us to see our real need and how we could be used in these days. I like what our good friends Peanuts show us here. When we trust God, the future always holds out hope. So these guys are great. I love Charles Schultz. He's got some really bizarre sense of humor, but he sees things that are amazing. And so trusting God really is the big picture, that God's got you covered. I love what Abraham Lincoln said. He says, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. Evangelist and missionary, director of orphan houses in England, George Mueller said, to ascertain the Lord's will, we ought to use scriptural means. Prayer, the word of God, and his spirit should be united together. We should go to the Lord repeatedly. What part of repeatedly don't we like? We should go to the Lord repeatedly in prayer and ask him to teach us by his spirit through his word. I've been away for a week and I got energized. I'm very excited about what's next for our church. But I really want us to think clearly about a complete provision that God has made for us. David, and that's King David. David's a great name. Instructs us in God. As I've pointed out before, he is the author of half of the book of Psalms. Take 150 divided by 275, David's name's assigned to 75 Psalms. He teaches us that it is appropriate to struggle even in agony before God. Do you know how to struggle in agony before God? It's something that most people push away. David teaches us how to struggle in agony. He teaches us how to cry out appropriately to God. He teaches us to confess our need for God. And when we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he teaches us how to confess our sin to God and recognize that apart from you, God, I am nothing and I need you. David teaches us how to celebrate God. David teaches us how to fully rely upon God. He says in Psalm 85, verse 6, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." Have you called upon the Lord? Have you asked him for his abundance of forgiveness? I know many of you have. I understand that. Are you enjoying that forgiveness? Do you live in that forgiveness? And I love this fact that if you take a look at Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, these are two psalms that came after one of the most biggest failures you could see in all of the Bible. But I love it what Acts 13:22 reminds us of. Because David knew, back up here, God knew all of David's life, even before David knew his life. And here's what God says: after removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." God, with full knowledge, knew all of David, even his failure in the future. In Psalm 32, it's in companion with Psalm 51, after David's involvement in adultery and murder and a one-year cover-up, David comes clean through God, through the God-sent prophet Nathan, who paints a graphic illustration for David. And you can see this graphic illustration, not now, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, that he could see through a very tender story. That's David, who has been running from God for about a year. He has been heavy, as Psalm 32, we'll take a look at some of those verses in just a couple minutes. David is heavy, and Nathan comes to him, and he paints this graphic story. So much that David saw what this man did in the story that Nathan presents to him. David's anger burned inside of him. And Nathan looks to David and he says, "The man who has done this will surely die and repay fourfold." That's the words of David. And then the heart-piercing words that would come to David through Nathan: "You are the man." And then David would pen the words of Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. If you think your God is done with you in any way, shape, or form, you need to look at Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. You need to stop excusing the fact that God can't forgive you. This is the stuff that holds the believer back. And this is the stuff that will cause you to live a wasted life. David is a picture of someone who embraces what really matters most. On the back of your bulletin, I like to refer to some of these verses. I believe this is a launch into the way that we should think clearly about our own lives in these days and take our cues from David, a man who committed murder, a man who committed adultery. Iniquity is when you plan something and then you do it. David planned. David was a man after God's own heart, but still grossly capable of sinning. You and I are grossly capable of sinning even still, even as the blood-bought children of God, unfortunately. But because of God's great love and mercy in Jesus Christ, when any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You get to your account the moment that you trust Christ, a fully imputed righteousness that belongs to you. And you know what? You're going to have to fight for that position all the days of your life. And so many Christians give up the fight because they keep finding the war within, that war within that is so real and so powerful. And it's still, you have still thoughts of evil and you still think that, oh my goodness, if I just if I could just get rid of this thing. Well, you aren't getting rid of that thing until you're in heaven. Praise the Lord. You are going to be released from that old sin nature that continues to harass you day and night, just like it harasses me. But the more I see myself as a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the more I can lay hold of precious victories that are mine. And that's what happens to the Christian. The Christian needs to wake up and see who they are. David in Psalm 32 takes a very close look at this. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Do you realize that there is sin within all of us? But do you recognize that that sin was paid for in full at the cross? David knew that when he would bury that stuff within, and all of us time to time can feel like, man, I'm struggling. But I believe God always imputes righteousness. He's always the one who grants forgiveness. He's always the one who sees what's needed. He's always the one that reconciles the sinner. But Jesus Christ is the full expression that has been done for us. And we never want to minimize the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to enjoy it. We want it to motivate us. We want to find our strength in it. And David is a picture of showing us that forgiveness always begins with God. It doesn't begin when you finally feel so bad that you're ready to confess it all. You need to realize that there is forgiveness always with God. God is the one who brings us to that place, and he's the only one who can take away our sin. David realizes what mattered most, to know that you're completely forgiven, to know that you're right with God, that God has placed to your account a full account of righteousness that was done for him. Just want to make sure I'm on my... Yes, I am. David understood that no matter that he wanted to continue to rely upon God, the Apostle Paul helps us put our hands around this truth from Psalm chapter 32. And he wants every believer to know what they have in Romans chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as Paul refers back to Psalm 32 here, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Salvation can never be earned. Forgiveness can never be earned. You can't go to a confessional enough times. You can't keep pouring it out and asking God for forgiveness. He satisfied his need, his purpose in sending Jesus Christ so that he could pay the price for all sin. Jesus could do that. Jesus could accomplish that. And Jesus removes sin once and for all. It has been nailed to the cross. Jesus came to pay a debt he didn't owe because we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. Amen? Sin is removed because it's been nailed to the cross. And are you trusting in that today? I love what Colossians says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Do you know that you are born an enemy of God? That's like, oh, that's so hard to hear. But it's the truth. We came into this world as an enemy of God. That's why we have a limited time to be made his friends. And he's holding out this wonderful truth of salvation for us who will turn to him and trust him. There is a full payment right now standing for every human being on planet Earth, and God wants to use us to bring that news to other people. It is so good. I so appreciate the words of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a brilliant preacher of two centuries ago. He's known as the Prince of Preachers. He writes in the Treasury of David about these first five verses in Psalm 32. If you see the words in Psalm 32, iniquity, sin, transgression, these denote our disobedience. And they are the three-headed dog at the gates of hell. But our glorious Lord has silenced his barkings forever against his own believing ones. The trinity of sin is overcome by the trinity of heaven. Non-imputation is of the very essence of pardon. Do you realize what that means? Do you realize that God puts to your credit all the righteousness of Jesus Christ? The non-imputation is of the very essence of pardon. The believer's sins, but his sin is not reckoned. It's not accounted to him. Certain divines froth at the mouth with rage against imputed righteousness. There are many people, there could even be some here today that struggle with the fact that you are not worthy to come to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. And there are people who will stand against this glorious gospel because somehow they feel that their own righteous deeds should get them into heaven. And that becomes an offense to God because it diminishes this complete work that Jesus Christ has done for us. And David wraps his mind around this idea of imputed righteousness in Psalm 32. He understands that only God can do this. Only God can take away sin. Be it ours to see our sin not imputed, and to us may there be, as Paul's words, that righteousness imputed without works. He is blessed indeed who has a substitute to stand for him, to whose account all the debts may be set down. You know the old hymn, "It is well with my soul, my sin, oh, the bliss of the glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole. Is nailed to the cross, I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." This is the impetus for us to really become on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, that all your sin has been paid for in full. But because of that, and because of this great reality, this wonderful reality, you and I still need instruction, because we still have an old nature that wants to take us down. That's the power of the Word of God. The Word of God cleanses our lives. It teaches us. It shows us. And so when you look at verses like in Ephesians, where it says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only word that is for edification." You know, you pay attention to that, because you realize that unedifying words can still come out of your mouth. Anybody say an unedifying word lately? Okay. No one in this place. It's getting warm up here. So David recognizes the need for instruction. That's why he would say this: "For this cause, everyone who's godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found." Do you realize that God can be found right now? We can know him. We can have relationship with him. We can call upon him. We can get to know him better. He says, "I will guide you with my eye." God wants to guide us as a people. Don't be like the horse. Don't be dumb. Don't be stupid. Don't just waste your life and not rely upon the Lord and his word to teach you things that perhaps you don't know yet. There's an agenda of God that God wants you and I to be involved with. I was in a Sunday school class last Sunday, and I was just a little disappointed, and I see that there are so many people who still believe that the most important thing that they need to know is that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and I'm good with that. We got to be better. There's more. That's an amazing truth, and that is a truth that will save your soul, but that is a truth that will not necessarily bring you to the next level. You can stay in that truth. You can stay and you can be good. But if you really want to get to know God, you've got to get into his word. And that's what Bible study is all about. That's what looking to the scriptures is all about. That's rightly dividing the word of God. That's seeing how someone like David shows you what you and I are still very capable of. David was a man after God's own heart, even before any of this. Many of us don't think about that. Many of us don't like to think that I'm capable of gross sin, gross things, and because you still have an old sin nature. I think David was rather shocked that this happened. Can you just imagine? You've taken another man's wife. You've committed. You've had this guy placed on the front lines. He's killed. I mean, this brought major problems to David's family, and that shows up later in David's life. There's a lot of problems. We are not exempt from sowing and reaping, but God's not done with any of you yet. This is the beautiful thing of God. This is how God, he can still impute righteousness to your account and still use you, even if you think you're a failure. God is not done with you yet. You have to get that through your head. This thing can be pretty thick, right? And we can put up walls and resistance, and we can say, "I'm so unworthy." And you live in the unworthy zone for over and over again, and you just don't embrace God for who he is. And he's the lover of your soul. He loved you. He died for you. He puts to your account full righteousness, and he wants you to get it. And David recognizes the ongoing need for instruction. He wants to know God better. and I want to teach sinners. I want to instruct others. I want to show the way. I want to show the magnificence of my Savior to a world that is many times savorless. They don't seem to embrace this glorious news. It's what every one of us really needs. It's what every one of us really wants. At the core, we are looking for what Jesus Christ offers. We are looking to know that we've been forgiven completely. We are looking to know that we have the presence and the backing of God. And we're looking to know that He will never leave us, never forsake us. And He wants to teach us. He wants to show us. Amen? All right, I'm almost done. We're getting there. We've been studying on our Wednesday morning Bible study, 1 John. And some of the things that are just becoming alive to me is that this wonderful promise of the Holy Spirit that is placed in every believer, this anointing, this new nature that God has placed in us, that He empowers us by His Spirit. 1 John 2, verse 27, "But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. No one can snatch you out of my hand," Jesus says. "This anointing abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him." The anointing of God is on every believer through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the very one who teaches us and brings these truths home. If you are one who can rejoice in God today, that's the Holy Spirit bringing these truths alive to your heart. If truth becomes something that, you know, you're just like, "I don't really get all this stuff," like, that pastor's just kind of crazy and he's just too excited and he just wants people to know stuff. Well, ask yourself, have you been born again? Do you know? And I'm not saying this is not coming from Dave. This is coming from the Word of God, and I'm doing my best to bring that to you. I want every person in this room to enjoy new life with God all the time, 24/7. I want this for me more than ever. I'm in desperate need of being reminded that I have new life in Jesus Christ all the time. I hope that you enjoy being told that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ all the time. This life, I've seen it even in our own church, that people are going through real stuff, real hard stuff, stuff that just kind of comes out of nowhere, like kind of cruising along, and all of a sudden, right before we left for Pennsylvania, I hear a thud. I hear a big thud in my house. I say, "That's Beth. That was my wife. And upstairs in our bedroom, in her packing, she tripped and she thuds her head into a laundry basket. And now she's got this big gash going on vacation. And I feel myself getting like, again. And yet there she is, just rejoicing in the goodness of God that it could have been worse and that she can live without this little piece of skin on this. Now it's going to band-aid it and be on vacation for the next week. But so much of our life, we get disrupted in the present. And I think the big point that I'm hoping to communicate this morning is that when a soul realizes they've been fully reconciled to God, when a soul realizes that they've been totally forgiven by God, nothing for they have done, but they've received that gift, when a soul realizes that they need the instruction by the Word of God, that they can't be without that instruction, that their greatest needs really lie with God, that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When a soul realizes this, it really does turn into a lasting joy. And that's what David talks about in these closing words. "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked." See, people who don't get this, their sorrows just seem to multiply. Their troubles seem to multiply. Do you realize that God is the one who's the lifter of your head? He is the one that lifts you up. He is the one who sends the rescue. He is the one who will never leave you nor forsake you. That He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not graciously give us all things? That's just not money. That's purpose. That's planning. That's direction. that's other things that God may want to do with this church in the days to come. It can be all those things. We do need money in this church. We do need provision. But ultimately, our greatest need is in Him. Because as somebody pointed out to me, none of this is sweat for God. God can accomplish what concerns us. And we want to make sure that as we are leaning into God, that as we are relying upon Him, that we are not doubting Him, we are not expecting Him to work. But we're also, God is bigger than our prayer lists of just that so-and-so is just hurting. And I, listen, let it be clear. I care about people, and I love hurting people. I want to love on hurting people. But sometimes I think hurting people are staying stuck, and they need to move on. They need to look to God, who is the true lifter of their head. Can you imagine the pain of David to know what he had caused? And by the end of this psalm, he is rejoicing fully in God. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. A righteous person is a man who has received the imputed righteousness that's given to us through Jesus Christ. And he even says here, shout for joy. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Are you upright in heart today? Are you one who's been made right with God because of Christ? Have you seen your sin as already paid for in full? Have you seen yourself in need of ongoing instruction? That every single day is an opportunity for all of us to grow deeper with the Lord through His Word. The Word of God will cleanse us. It will remind us. You know, some of the biggest pits in my life, the ones that I have fallen into, even some of the ones that I've created in my own way, through my own mind, my own fruitless thoughts, the Word of God has brought me out of that pit. As I read His Word, I realize that this is a living book. It is meant to be seen as a living, authoritative book for all of our life. God is not just looking to fix you up. He is interested in making you a new creation on your way to heaven. You have hope of hope because it's guaranteed by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel like I stumbled a little bit today on this, but I want you to know that I want God for this church more than ever. And I want us to be a people that is willing to get before God to ask Him for things. There's a lot of ideas that are coming at me over these last few weeks. What we could do, what we should do, building concerns, facility concerns, things that may be hindering us. Well, I don't know the answers, but God does. God knows what's needed. God has the resources. God can open up doors. This truth that is, I believe, in Proverbs about chapter 18. And you think about this. You want to look at a messy life, look at the life of Solomon. But God still used him to write holy scripture. Messy lives are still meant to be used of God. What you and I need most is to get our life under the control of the Holy Spirit for His glory and His honor. He saved you anyway on the basis of grace. He's going to continue to keep you in His grace, and He wants to empower you in His grace by His Spirit. This is what keeps moving the believer forward. So as we stumble along and we hit the unworthy zone over and over again, get away from that. Get this in your thinking. As Solomon put it, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. People of God, Grace Lighthouse Fellowship, we need the Lord. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your tender mercy, your abundance of forgiveness, taking a guy like David, a man after your own heart, seemed to wreck everything, and yet you said, I'm not done with you yet. I'm going to use you greatly. I thank you for the hope. I thank you for the hope that when we're so low and we wonder, can God use me? Lord, there are things in our lives that perhaps we need to shape up. We need to recognize for them for what they truly are. And they may be a fleshy tendency that we're not willing to give up yet. But Lord, I pray today that we would first of all settle the fact that if any man be in Christ, any woman be in Christ, no matter how long they've been on this planet, they're a new creation. And Jesus, thank you that you do that, and you will, nothing will take that away from what you've already put in them. But Lord, now the next level is for instruction and for growing and for learning and for seeking and for a better understanding of the Word, how these things fit together. We praise you for what you have done here at Grace Lighthouse Fellowship. And we want to confess to you again that we need you. We truly need you. We don't want to do this without you. We don't want to be church without you. We want to be in Christ, the church of the living God. We thank you for the security of the believer. We pray that we would relish in the security that forever and ever and ever I've been saved for all eternity. And I am going to rejoice in that truth until I see Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, for anyone here this morning who has not trusted you, that this would be the day. Let me put it to you this way out there listening. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Father, thank you for it's that simple. Make it clear to us. Move us into the realm that you want us to go into as a church. Help us, like never before, to trust you. And I praise you for each of these believers here this morning. Lord, bless them, fill them, use them. Make them enjoy you. Cause us to enjoy you again. Cause us to remember that if God is for me, who can be against me? We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do you want to sing? All right.